If you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 18 or 16. Matthew 16. As we think of this season, as we begin to think of the holidays and all of those good things and all the shopping that was going on, I'm sure some of you have already attempted to do the Friday thing, and the Cyberspace Monday is coming up, so everybody will be on the internet. So if you want to do anything besides shopping, I suggest you wait till that afternoon and then you can get on it. But Christmas is coming, and we think about the decorations, and as you ride around the neighborhoods, you're beginning to see all the Christmas lights and all of that stuff going up, and some of them. In Richmond, we have Tacky Lane, and we even actually had the limos that could take you around, and they would take you to all the tacky places. And it would take these people somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 4 months to put these lights and decorations and all this up. And then finally it got to the point that one whole block did it. And then another block right next to them decided they wanted to do it. And then had a hot chocolate and all this, and really made a big thing out of it. Even had a little thing set up where you could even visit Santa Claus and have your picture. So you see all this stuff going on, and I'm sure it goes around here too. But as you think about that, we need to remember that this is a time that we come to celebrate Jesus Christ. Now, we don't need to do it just at Christmas time. It should be every day of the year. And so really for us, Christmas comes, what, 365 days out of the year, doesn't it? Not just one day, but 365. So as you begin to think about that, what is my role in the church? As we look at it, this is what Matthew said. This is this quote from Jesus. And he says in verse 18, the one verse that we want to look at, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And as we think about that, we see in this story, Jesus has looked at his disciples, he has taught them, he has done some miracles now, he has gotten a credibility within the community, and people knew who he was. But he looked at his disciples and he says, "Who do you say I am? Who do you think I am?" And they hemped and hollered and said, "Well, you know, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're a great man. But who do you say that I am?" he asked. And as we think about that, none of the disciples really knew. And then good old Peter is always the one that takes the lead. And also he's the one that always sticks his foot in his mouth also. And he pops up and he says, "You are the Son of God." And as we think about that today, how did he know that he was the Son of God? Jesus did not tell him at this point. And he says, "You're right, Peter." And this is probably the only time Peter got anything right when he spoke up ahead of everybody else. And as he said this, he looked at Peter and he says, "And that because of that, today I want you to know that you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church." Now, some people think that Peter is the first church, and that is the rock, but it's not. And as we think about a church, we always refer to going to church, don't we? I'm going to church. Where are you going Sunday? I'm going to church. Where is church? Well, it's on 205 Church Street, you know, Withville Baptist Church. Is that the church that we're talking about? Is that the church that Jesus is talking about? And as we think about that today, what is the role? What is our role in church? What is our responsibility in church? And as we think about that, Jesus looks at these and he explains them. And as we think about it, we see that God has commissioned three major institutions on this earth. The family was number one, civil government was number two, and the local church was the third one. And that's the one we want to look at today, is the local church. What is our role as a member of this church? Now, you know as well as I do that the offertory is given, the invitation is given. You come down and you say, "I want to join this church by baptism, by statement of faith, or I want to transfer my membership from another church to this church, and I want to become a member of this church." But as we think about that, what are the requirements of the church? Is that all that's needed? Well, no, we also vote, don't we? And we have the vote, right to vote somebody out if we wanted to. But what is the responsibility of the church? Why do we come to church? Why do we come here? What is our responsibility as a church? What does God expect us, each one of us? And I ask that as us, but I want you to ask yourself, God, what is it you want me to do in this church? That is the question we want to look at this morning. As we think about that, the first thing we want to look at is, what is the local church? What is it? It's not the building, is it? It's not. Because when we invite Jesus into our hearts, that becomes his church, doesn't it? This is the church, not this building. You know, a hurricane could come through here and wipe this building out in just a split second, can't it? A fire could just wipe it out. There are so many things that could just destroy this building. The government could do it. In the world wars that we've had and all the wars that have been fought on our in our countries and any other country, churches have been blown up, haven't they, and disappeared. I had a friend of mine that pastored a church in Chesterfield, and their church burnt down. And he made the comment when he did the interview on TV. He says, the building itself may be burnt, and we may not meet in that building, but we will still meet together as a church, as a body of believers, whether it's in a tent or somewhere else. We will meet together. So this is not the church. This is the church. And as we think about that, he says in Acts 14:27, he says, on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all the people that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. You notice it says, gathered the church together. Well, you can't gather the churches together. You got a church over here and a church over here and a church. You can't gather those buildings and push them together and meet, can we? It's the people. So we see even in Acts, he's talking about the church being the people, not a physical. We worship God in spirit and truth. In John 4:24, he says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in the truth. Now, we like to do it, and we're Baptists. We like to meet and greet and eat. We're also noted for that part of it too, aren't we? But we meet. But how many times do we come to get prepared to worship God? Usually when Jimmy starts playing or something like that, that is our cue to what? Go sit down and get ready for church, isn't it? But is that really the cue? The scripture says God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We must prepare ourselves to come into worship. And when we get into it and when the music starts to play, that's not the cue to say, okay, I got to get right now with God. We need to prepare ourselves and be ready. That begins at home even while you're getting dressed, can't it? Be praying for the preacher, those that are singing, praying that something will happen. How many of you expect something to happen today? Somebody to get saved. When's the last time we expected someone to get saved in our sanctuary? We need to expect things, revival to break out. We need to see people get right. And we need to realize that our bodies are the temple. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So our bodies is not ours anymore. It's God's. And this is the body. We know that Jesus saw in Serval those that were demon-possessed. And today there are still people that are demon-possessed. We may not think about it or we may joke about it, but today there are people that are possessed either by demons or by God. And we don't like to face that fact, do we? We don't want to talk about those things, do we? But it's the truth. You are either going to be possessed by God or you're going to be possessed by the demon. That's your only two choices. So which one do you want? Which ones do you want your friends and your neighbors? We jokingly say, oh, that person must be demon-possessed. And then we laugh about it. But folks, that's serious, isn't it? Our bodies are a temple of God. And we need to keep it that way. It's not invisible. It's not universal. It's not tangible or intangible. It's not indescribable. Have you ever tried to describe a sanctuary? Catholics have some of the most beautiful sanctuaries, cathedrals, don't they? They're beautiful. They're awesome. But is there anything any more beautiful than God's temple? Because we are in likeness in Genesis. He says, let us make man in our own image. So you think of the most beautiful cathedral, synagogue, church that you can think of, and that has nothing compared to God's temple. We are the temple. And certainly everyone who places their trust in Jesus Christ is saved. And their temples is a part. And we become a part of the body of God, but the body does not function outside of the local church. We need to come together to encourage one another, to lift up. And the church's responsibility is, as Paul put it, says to edify one another, to lift up one another, to encourage one another. Because where do we get that outside of this world? A lot of families don't even encourage one another, do they? I had a school teacher one time, and at that time I thought she was a foreigner because she didn't speak as English like I did, and she had this saying, when we misbehaved or something, she'd call us an idiot. And she'd go, you idiot! Well, in their country, that didn't mean that much. But to us today, what does an idiot mean? And that was not very encouraging in a school, was it? For a kid in middle school. You need encouragement. So where do we get that from? We don't get it from our families that much. We don't get it in our schools. We don't get it on our jobs. We should get it at church, shouldn't we? That's where it should come. And we should encourage one another to serve God. A local church is a body of men and women who have been saved and called to God to serve in specific areas, to praise Him, to sing praises, to feel good, to be excited. That is why we're called, so that we can go out into this world. You remember when the Spirit came upon the disciples after Jesus had been crucified and after He raised, and they were up in that little room, and the Spirit came upon them. They left that upper room doing what? Preaching and teaching with boldness, enthusiasm, excitement. And they were willing to be crucified, to die for the name of Jesus Christ. Are we that way today? Do we feel like that today? Are we excited when we come to church and when we walk out these doors? Are we excited because we have worshiped God? We have studied His Word? We have come together? He says we are the body of Christ, and therefore we need to function together. Each member has a different function. I'm glad that there are some people that can play piano and organ and other instruments and sing. I'm glad there are Sunday school teachers that can teach. But we also need to see that each one of us in this room this morning has a function for God. God has something for every one of us to do. Unfortunately, we see, and Lifeway has done the statistics, and they are old, 90% of the work is done by 10% of the church members in a church. 90%. If you look on your nomination form, how many people do you see with five jobs holding down five and six positions in the church? Why are they doing that? Well, we can't find anybody else to do it. But yet, we've got all these members in this church, and if this is true, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 20 says, each one has a different function, then we all have a job to do, don't we? No member can function alone. We have to work together as a team. When I was in the Navy, we would have to do what we call a highlight. And what we'd do is we'd have two ships that would come down side by side, and they would have their course marked, so they were running parallel with each other. And we would shoot a rope over to the other ship, and then we would all have to work together to bring a cable over and hook it up onto this rig that we had. And we would put that cable on there, and then the tanker would have the oil, when we fueled up, he would have that line that would have that fuel in it, and that would be pulled on that cable, and then we would have to hook it up. And we would have to sit there. And can you imagine all of us trying to work it different ways? But we all had to pull together. We had to work together. Those that set that rig up had to know what they were doing so that it would hold. Because even though you're both running the same way, parallel, the ships are still rocking and rolling out in the middle of the sea. So how do you work everything together? You had to work together as a team, didn't you? And you have to do that. And the same is true with the church. We have to work together. We cannot function alone. In the Navy, they used to tell us that the chain was as strong as its weakest link. Meaning, if you had a weak link, it was going to break. As we think about that this morning, our church, our local church here, is as strong as its weakest link. Now, we've got over 400 members in this church. How weak are we today? But wouldn't it be better to say how strong we are today? How strong are we today? Each member's contribution is important. It is good. We had a meeting the other night, and a person spoke up, and he said, you're probably not going to like this. We asked for discussion. You're probably not going to like this. And then they went on and shared what they were thinking, and it turned out it was great. We liked it. Why did he say we probably wouldn't like it? We did like it. We have to see that everybody's contribution is important. A properly functioned body operates as a single unit. Have you ever watched soldiers march? Everybody is in time with one another. Can you imagine if one starts out on the left foot and one starts out on the right foot, what kind of a mess it would be? My wife was a band geek, and I can say that because she knows I'd say it anyway. But she marched. And there were many days that they would have two left feet and get confused and start out on the wrong one. And when they did, they ran in together with one another. We have to function together and to work together. Secondly, what is the function of the local church? This local church in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47, was a church in the Bible, was organized in Jerusalem. The believers organized their church for these purposes. One, the teaching of the Word of God, to study God's words as they have it. That is what we should do. Number two was to fellowship with other believers in verse 42, to come and fellowship with one another, to serve one another, to worship with one another, to help one another. Three, to come together in prayer. You remember the miracles that happened through prayer in the Scriptures? You remember Paul and Silas, Peter, how many times had they been in prison, and how many times had the chain just fall off their arms because the others were praying? How many times did they walk right by the jailer and walk right on out to the prison and walk to where they were praying at? Because of prayer. Prayer is very important, and it is the most important thing we have is communication with God. Fourth, to observe the ordinances of church baptism and communion, the Lord's Supper, to be a testimony of God's grace and power. You know, you've heard people talk about, oh, they've got a son and they call him Little Timmy or Little Jimmy or something like that. Well, each one of us are little Jesuses. We are to reflect Jesus, aren't we? Aren't others supposed to see Jesus in us? Aren't they supposed to see the love of God through us? That is what we come to be, a testimony of God's grace and His power, for mutual assistance and ministry to one another, to pray for one another, to cry with one another, to laugh with one another, to be there in times of good and troubles, to reach out into this community. Folks, do you know how many people that are lost in this community? Do you? Do you know how many that are unchurched? In the summertime especially, you come before church, they're out there cleaning the cars, washing cars, getting boats ready to go to the lake, doing this, doing that. How many people do you see before church not getting ready to come to church, and how many do you see after church doing those same things? Now you can begin to see the picture. Look at how many empty pews we've got this morning. And the 11 o'clock service is not going to fill it up either. That's how many. If every church in this community would have every one of their pews jam-packed full, sitting here like this, like we do at car races and football games, shoulder to shoulder, we'd still have people that are out in this community lost. Does that help you out? You know better than I do how many churches around this community, don't you? Now just think for a second. If every church was jam-packed full, we still wouldn't have every person in this community involved in church. So we have work to do outside this community. We have people that need help, don't we? We have people that are unemployed. We have people that are homeless. We have people that are starving. We have children that need help. And not only do they need the physical help, not only do they need these things, but they need the spiritual help. And the last thing, we are to glorify and praise God. I wonder sometimes when we're singing, God looking down at us, what he may be thinking. How many times do we give lip service? We're singing because whoever up here said, stand and let's sing, and we really didn't want to sing, but we didn't want to sit there and not sing because we didn't want somebody to think that we didn't want to sing. We're more concerned about what somebody else is thinking than what we are of God thinking about us, aren't we? And who should we be concerned with? Not this person over here or this person over here, but God. God's the one that's going to judge us, not the other people. So when we think about it, we're come to glorify. And the single most important priority of the local church is to edify, to build up, to teach, to strengthen the saints. Thirdly, how do we function in the church? As we think about that, during our Christian life, we should grow to meet those stages that we have talked about. And we see three in Ephesians 4:12. First is the perfecting of the saints, to observe and to learn. When I was a kid, my dad would teach me things, and this is what he'd say, "Now watch me." And he'd do it. "Now watch me." Now, as a kid, you don't have a whole lot of patience in watching somebody. And I didn't want to watch my dad hammer a nail. I wanted to do it. And my dad knew that, but he told me, watch. And then finally, one day, he says, here, do it. And I found out real quick that my hammering, my dad's hammering, wasn't the same. He could drive that nail in. I drove it everywhere, buddy, and, you know, it bent, and it shot out sparks, and it did this, and I had one that just flew off into the air one time, you know. I didn't set it. And when I hit it on the edge, and it just flung off. I didn't see that happen to my dad. Every time he hit it, that nail would go further and further in. Watch and observe. Learn. Our priority is to submit to the teaching of God's Word and to learn to be the man or woman God wants us to be. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and I will and learn from me. Jesus is saying, learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The work of the ministry is number two, participation. How do we get involved? We're great. We've got children that are playing handbells. We've got youth and adults playing handbells. We've got Sunday school teachers. We've got people that are singing. We have all kinds of things. But there are more people that need to be involved. And one of the positions that I do not see in the scriptures is sitting on a pew doing nothing and leaving after that. We need to get involved. In time, as we grow in God's words, we want to get out and function as a Christian. We want to see established ministries going on where we can serve our community, where we can serve others. Matthew 4:19 says, come, follow me. This is not Jesus asking, would it be nice that you would come? I would like for you to come. But he says, come. That is a direct order. And he meant immediately, you are to come and you are to follow me, and I will send you out for fish of people or fishers of men. That is what he's called us to do. Each one of us have been given the gift of evangelism. I'm not an evangelist. No. You may not stand up and preach like evangelists preach, but we are all called to be a witness for God. So we know that we all have that one gift. We are to reflect Jesus Christ in us. We're to let others know it. We may not go and knock on doors. We may not pull out a tract and read the plan of salvation of someone. We may not sit down and even pray the prayer of sinner, but we can let others see Christ in us. And James says in 1:22, do not merely listen to the word, so be deceived, to deceive yourself. Do what it says they will be blessed in what they do. Growing, folks, is what we're calling that. Growing as Christians, being nurtured. And as we grow in Christ, you know, I've heard people say, oh, they're such a mature person. But that doesn't mean they have reached the end, does it? We will never, ever mature as a Christian. We will never become so mature that we don't need anything else. We will always grow in Christ until the day He takes us home. The third thing is to edifying the body of Christ, to lead. It's unfortunate that in churches today that nominating committees cannot find people to serve in committees, to serve in Sunday school, in music, in other places of ministry in the church. WMU, Baptist men or B-men, we're always looking for people to help, but we can't find them. And we should, as we grow, we should be to the point where we can begin to minister to others. You may not be a Sunday school teacher in a class, but you can still minister, you can still pray with, and still be with others, can't we? And so we see that we, as the church continues to grow, we want to come to that point. In Hebrews 5:12, he says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not the solid food. And I wonder how many of our churches today need to go back to the milk. A song by a group several years ago called Back to the Basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. I wonder how many of us need to get back to the milk and begin grow again and get back to that spiritual food that we need. We need to grow. This is what he's saying. Paul instructs Timothy, and these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Eventually, we're going to die. We're old. And the older we get, the closer we come to what we call death. And as we get to that point, we're not able to do the things that we used to do. So who is going to come after us if we don't teach? If we don't teach, who is going to do it? And so we see it that it is in three stages: childhood, youth, and adult. Christianity can be labeled the same way. And how many of us are still in childhood? How many of us have grown to youth? And how many of us can really and truly say, spiritually, I'm an adult? As you think about that, the more I study God's Word, the more I read it, the more I go from adulthood back down to childhood. I am not that mature in Christ. I got a lot of work to do. Or should I say, God's got a lot of work to do in me. God is still using 4x4s on my head every now and then, you know. Not quite as much as he did when I was newborn. But he's still having to get my attention sometimes because I am immature. But we need to be patient. The process takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Some people think we can just snap a finger. And I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to play a guitar. I really would. I'm not going to sit there and put my fingers on those chords just right and strut one little chord over and over and over and over again. And then the next week, do two chords over and over and over again. If I'm going to pick up that guitar, I'm going to put this hand up here and I'm going to have this one over here and I'm going to play like a professional. I can't snap my fingers to do that. So therefore, I don't play a guitar. I want to do it. I don't have the patience to do it. And how many of us as Christians sometimes don't have the patience to wait on God? Our prayers usually go like this: God, I need, I want, and I want it now. Right? Because most of the time when we get to God in prayer at that time, it has already happened and we need an answer right now, don't we? But if we begin to seek God's will for our lives, then we don't have to rush this. God, I need an answer for this and I need it now. as we think about it, we think finally of these questions. If God moves me to another location, how do I find a particular local church? How do I find a local church? And so as you leave here and you need to go somewhere else, this is how you should go about it. You need to pray about it. Ask God to show you which church that you could go to. James 1:5 says, if any of you likes wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously, to be without finding fault, and it will be given to you. What are you looking for in a local church? What do people look for? Number one, we should pray about it before we go. Pray about it. Now, technology is so great. We got internet now. We can sit here and we can look at these churches online, a lot of them, can't we? And if they're not online, they're not even worth going to, are they? We're going to judge it by what they're online with. But is that answer? Pray about it. Number two, observe the qualities of a particular church and compare them with the Bible. Do they fulfill the Bible? Are they teaching the Bible? Are they doing what God says? Matthew 7:20 says, thus by their fruit you will recognize them. Do we see the fruits of the Spirit? That's what we're looking for. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people, and the Lord had added to their number daily those that were being saved. When people are doing what God has called them to do, it will attract. And people will be saved daily. And some churches have gone 10, 15, 20 years with nobody accepting Christ, nobody being baptized. You look at the stats that are turned in, and you look at throughout Virginia and the Southern Baptist Convention, you look and see how many churches have had recorded zero baptisms for the last 10 years. What's wrong? What's wrong with that picture? When the scriptures say, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. People, we should see people getting saved every day, shouldn't we? And we would think if we see once a month or every 6 months somebody got saved, that would be an on-fire church. And we think that a church that baptizes 12 a year is an on-fire church, isn't it? And 25, man, that was a revival. But if we add and look at the scriptures, and when we're doing God's word, they will happen daily. Is the membership encouraged to read and study the Bible? Now we've gotten lazy, haven't we? We can put it in the bulletin. We can put it on the screen. We got Bibles in our pew racks. And we don't even have to bring our Bibles to church anymore, do we? Do we even sit down and read the scriptures together? Do we encourage one another? When's the last time you took on a plan to read the Bible through in a year and completed it? That's the hard one. I think we all planned on January 1 to read the Bible through in a year, but by January 28th, there along, you ought to be about Leviticus then, and all of those begats get in the picture, and you soon drop out, don't we? Is the membership encouraged? Do they minister to the needs of the people? Do we see it? In Acts 6:20 says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because of the wisdom being overlooked and the daily distribution of food. They saw that people were not being taken care of, and they were complaining. They wanted people to take care, to be able to take care of them. And so they increased. Do they send out and support missions? When's the last time our church sent someone out? When's the last time? Think about that for a second. Well, let's see. We ordained somebody back in 1873. That's not what I'm talking about, ordination. That's good. We had shoe boxes right over here where this tree was the other day, last week. We commissioned those boxes. We prayed over those boxes, which means that we are sending people overseas to give out those boxes to do what? Share the love of Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Are we sending people out like that? Are people going out? There are so many things we can do in our community to do that. And that is what we need to do, is to be able to send out.
people to share. How do we minister in this community? What are the needs of this community? And how can we, as a church, as a body of believers in Jesus Christ, meet those needs? My son went to a church when he was in seminary. They took on a project and went to the school and said, we'd like to help y'all with your playground. We'd like to do it. And they said, fine, we need X amount of money. They said, no, you don't understand. We want to do the playground. We want not just raise the money and buy what you need. We want to set it all up. So they raised the money outside of the school system. And when they got the money, they bought the stuff. And when it came in, they set up a work day. And the whole church showed up. And they went out there. And they put all the swings together and all the slides and all of the other stuff together. And they bought the mulch and the other stuff, the rubber compounds that you put down in the playgrounds now. And they raked it all out. And they set it all up. And looked at the school and said, here it is. Use it. That's ministry, isn't it? How do we do that? We've got clothes closets, turning the coats for the wintertime, feeding people. There are so many things that we could be involved in, couldn't we? Thanksgiving was a day that most of us ate probably more than we should have. I'll put it that way. And in fact, I'd say we were gluttonies, weren't we? We actually sinned. We ate so much food, didn't we? And we had so much food left over. And how much of it will be thrown out? And yet, how many people were around us that didn't have anything to be thankful for? I got to thinking, I remember when I was in Richmond, the BSU, we used to go down there with them because we had some foreign students that couldn't go home for Thanksgiving. And so while everybody else was going home, they were sitting there downtown Richmond. And as we were talking about celebrating Thanksgiving, they had nothing to celebrate. So somebody came up with, why don't we take Thanksgiving to them? And so we set up in the BSU down at VCU in that area. We set up tables and we had church people to bring food in, and we sat down and we had Thanksgiving with those foreign students. Do you know what that meant to them? That instead of going and leaving them by themselves, we wanted to be there with them. The next year, guess what? Those same students says, let's try something different. Y'all come and have Thanksgiving with us and let us bring our different varieties of food, Asian, Greek, and the different ones. And so we had a non-traditional Thanksgiving that next year. And I'm not one to try different foods, believe you me, but I did. And now I can eat some of it. Some of it's still too spicy that I can't handle. But those kids never forgot. I've got one that I'm still, thanks goodness to Facebook, Fuad. And Fuad still remembers those times. And every now and then on Facebook, he'll say something about it. Isn't it great? And I won't tell you how many years I've been out, but it's been a few. Long enough that that could have been forgotten about. But to this day, he still remembers. That's what we're talking about. Kindness. Working together. Are we functioning within the local body of this church? Are we functioning for God? Where is this church? You know, people come, I haven't been in this church in 40 years. It's different. Well, I hope it is. I hope it is. A guy asked a girl that was singing one time, how do you get so better every time? How do you get better? Well, just when you think you can't get any better, you seem to get better. How do you do that? And the girl looked and says, I ask God to give me a new experience. And I expect a new experience every time I sing for Him. And that's why it works. How do we function? This church should not look the same as it did a year ago, but it should not look the same as 6 months, should it? I've heard people come in and say, oh, I didn't know half the people. That's a good thing. That means God is at work, isn't it? Either that or you really have gotten out of church. Where are we at? How are we functioning? How do we get connected? How do we plug in and serve our Lord? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this chance and this opportunity this morning to be able to see what part of the local church plays in this community. And thank you that we are the church, Father, and that we come to this building to learn, to study, and to go out and to minister into this community and into this world. Challenge us, Father. Give us challenges, because not only do you give us the challenge, but you provide the answers and the ways and the means of doing the challenges that are given. Thank you for using us as your servants to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.